read a fair portion of Scripture this morning. The devotional this morning I've entitled Revelation of the Majesty and the Agony of Christ Jesus. We're going to look at three chapters in Isaiah. Isaiah 52, 53, and 54. I'm trusting that you will notice that the end of 52 and 53 are almost parenthetical in the setting. By that I mean it's like they're set in a parenthesis. They cut in half one major portion of Scripture regarding the majesty that is to be revealed. And the 53rd chapter and the last part of 52 deals with the agony. Are you there, Isaiah? 52, verse 1, awake. They wouldn't have had to said that if they'd had that PA situation. Read it. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. That's not true right now. But it's going to be. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing. You shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down. Now, that one portion there, that line we just read, is often used in reference to being delivered from sin through the cross of Calvary. But I want you to notice the context. The context is to do with Israel being punished and that they're to return. Thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord, my people went down at first into Egypt to sojourn in there, and the Assyrians oppressed them for nothing. Now therefore we have, I hear, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing, their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all the day my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day, that's an important phrase throughout Isaiah, throughout the prophets, in that day. You need to determine what day that is. And know that it is I who speak. Here I am. Then we go into a portion that is quoted in Romans 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the word salvation predominantly means deliverance from an enemy. Not the same context as being delivered from your sin. Okay? The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see, what? The return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of the Lord. That has not yet happened. There's a process, but it is not achieved. Depart, depart, get out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves. You who bear the vessels of the Lord, you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go out in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Now we make a transition. Behold, my servant. Jesus Christ fulfills that definition, my servant. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond any human semblance. To look at him, you didn't know he was human. He was that beaten and abused. And his form beyond all that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form of majesty. We just read in the 52nd chapter that there's a majesty that's going to be revealed. But here in 53, he has no majesty that we should look upon him and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he has done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was, this is critical, verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. And he has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. He's going to be put to death, but look at this. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. There will be a resurrection. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. Not all, but many. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life. Someone made a comment that gives you an indication of the amount of traffic on each road. And he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Yeah. Now, 54. Oh, sing, barren one, who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring shall possess the nations. And will people the desolate cities. Fear not. For you will not be ashamed, nor be confounded. For you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife out of youth when she was cast off, says your Lord. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment, I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. This is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, and I will not rebuke you, for the mountains may depart and the hills may be removed. But my steadfast love shall not depart from you. Who's he speaking to? Speaking to Israel. And my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in Ethem and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of agate and your gates of carbuncles and all your wall of precious stones. All your children will be taught by the Lord. Subject is still speaking to Israel. And great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established, and you shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear, and for terror, for it is not come near you. And if anyone stirs up strife, it's not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals. That's a blacksmith. And produced a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. Did you see a few months ago they were firing missiles at Israel, at Jerusalem? Did you see the response? They have a system that's called the Iron Dome. And it fired literally hundreds of missiles, and they... Hardly a missile made it through. The defense of Israel worked. And the enemy expended most all of their munitions. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. And you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Now, let's put this into a setting that we can gather a little bit here. Isaiah and Jeremiah are prophesying years earlier. The northern 10 tribes, Israel, have already gone into captivity under the Assyrians. And they're prophesying, Isaiah and Jeremiah are prophesying that under Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon is going to come and is going to seize them. And there's that portion of scripture in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, of a future and a hope. Listen, examine the context of that. I don't have a problem with us saying it, but we're taking it out of context. That is being said to Israel. A true prophet was giving a false prophecy saying, yeah, we're going to go into captivity, but it's for 2 years. And God says to Jeremiah, you go to tell the people, and it's not going to be 2 years. It's going to be 70 years. That are going to be fulfilled against you by Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. But I want you to know, I know the plans I have for you of a future and of a hope. Okay? There's going to be a judgment, but you're going to come through. Okay? And so both Isaiah and Jeremiah are prophesying this. They're saying, listen, this is going to happen. And the Gentiles are going to occupy. Question. Is Jerusalem a settled settlement now of Jews only? No, it's not. It was totally lost at one point. Then, under Zerubbabel and Ezra, they were allowed to return by the Persian king at this time. They'd replaced Babylon. And they had authority to rebuild the temple. And then in 444 B.C., under Artaxerxes the king, Nehemiah is given authority to go back, and he's given resources, and he's given authority, and he's given captains and horsemen to go and rebuild the city walls. But it was still an occupied territory. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem opposed the work that was being done to reestablish the city of Jerusalem, the holy city of God, the city of David. And you look at verse 2, 52 and 1. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. That's going to happen. It's in a process. When this was being written, Judah is about to fall. Jerusalem is about to fall. The temple will be destroyed. But since then, it's been rebuilt and then subsequently destroyed again by the Romans. And it wasn't until 1948 that they were reestablished as a nation. And Jerusalem still remains a divided city. But not for eternity. What is being prophesied here is going to happen. Now, why are you talking about this at Christmas? As real and as literal as the first advent was, so shall the second be. Isaiah 50, the end of 52 and 53, prophesies the Messiah, his abuse, his beating, his crucifixion, his resurrection. On him would be laid the iniquity of us all. We're going to look at that in just a second. That literally happened. A little later this morning, or maybe early afternoon, we're going to receive the emblems of communion. I'm going to give you instruction right now. Paul said, I deliver unto you that which was delivered unto me. He says, this is what communion is supposed to be about. And he says, listen, when you go to take communion, you need to examine yourself. And if you don't, he says, I want you to understand, there's a consequence. He says, those that don't, he says, for this reason, there are many among you who are sick and some have even prematurely died. They're asleep. But he says, listen, as often as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you do what? You declare the Lord's death until he comes. Say it again. You declare the Lord's death until he comes again. Every time we take communion, we're saying the first advent happened and the second is coming. It's going to happen. Years ago, Christians had trouble with some of this because Israel still didn't exist. 1948, that changed. Became a nation again. Do you know that in the United Nations, there are still over 20 countries in the United Nations that refuse to acknowledge the existence of Israel? God says, too bad. I declare you're my city. You're my bride. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'll be your rear guard. I'll defend you. I'll take care of you. Now, how does that apply to you and I? Listen, many Bible scholars advocate that there is more prophecy being fulfilled today in our age than at the time of the birth of Christ. Those prophecies were literally fulfilled. But there's more prophecy about the second coming than there is at the first. You see 52 and 53. Most of Isaiah deals with the judgment and the restoration they'll take. It's Jeremiah, the same thing. But here you got 52 and 54, and right in the middle is 53. The crucifixion of Christ. Let's go to major point number one. Well, there we are. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. The holy city, for there shall no more come into you any uncircumcised or unclean. This to me has a twofold application. One, I think there's going to be a 1,000-year kingdom. You know, that's my understanding of Scripture. There'll be nothing unclean in Jerusalem that time. And if you're not sure about that, there's going to be a new heaven and a new Jerusalem, and there'll be nothing unclean in that one. That's going to be fulfilled. Amen? Natural observation demonstrates that this prophecy is only partially fulfilled at this time. By that, I mean 1948, it became a nation again. And Jerusalem is there. But it's not totally belonging to Israel. It's divided. Okay, next. Isaiah 52, 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. This doesn't happen yet, but there's coming a day, Zechariah 14, when Christ will literally stand on Mount Zion. And all the nations will know. And until that day, you and I have an assignment. People say sometimes, well, what's your vision for the church? Well, I'll steal it from Paul. My personal vision for us as a body of believers is, Paul said, it is my desire to present every believer mature in Christ. That we would grow up in God. What's our mission? Well, I'll steal the words of Jesus here. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make, not converts. That's like birthing a baby and leaving it. Make disciples. Train them up. Get them filled with the Word of God. Let them see that there are promises for them. There's purpose for them. There's design for them. That He will cause all things to work together for us who are called by Him. That you were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, and there is a work that you were appointed to do that was prepared when? Before time. You know? Well, what are your values? You demonstrated that incredibly on Friday night. My heart cannot thank you enough for what you demonstrated to that young man. When I went to see him yesterday, he was quite emotional about it. What are our values? We shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and our soul, and we will love our neighbors ourselves. Yeah. But it's going to happen. Isaiah 52, 9b to 12. You're in Isaiah, okay? Let's go to 9b is the second half of the verse. For the Lord has confirmed his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. What is it? Does he mean he saved them? No, he brought them out of captivity. Jerusalem is being set free. And listen, 1948 was a major step in the total freedom of Jerusalem. But it's going to be fulfilled. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see his salvation. There's all kinds of nations that hate Israel. They're opposed to Israel. They can't understand how Israel succeeds. Yeah. One of the things that young man and I have in common is we like some of the war things. In 1981, Israel's purchased a number of F-16s. That's my favorite fighter plane, built by the United States. It's, you know, and it's a single engine. Generally has just a pilot. There's the odd one that they've customized to add a second. Built by the United States, General Dynamics, the first encounter and the first win by an F-16 was under the IDF Air Force, the Israeli Defense Force, shot down an enemy helicopter. A few months later, a day after my birthday, June 6th, June 7th, 1981, a squadron of F-16s was put into action. There's eight planes in the squadron. There were six F-15s that escorted them as a fighter defense, because as able as the F-16 is as a fighter, they were carrying two 2,000-pound bombs each. That reduces your agility. I'm not 2,000 pounds overweight, but my agility is reduced by myself. You add a bunch of weight to a plane, you reduce its agility. 8 went in. They weren't allowed to go through Syria or through Jordan. They went down through Saudi Arabia, and they went in, and they destroyed a nuclear reactor facility that was being built. They dropped those 16 bombs. 10 of the enemy was killed and one French advisor. But they destroyed the site. So what? You know where it was? Iraq. 20 kilometers to the southeast of Baghdad. Just a few miles from the historic site of Babylon. You don't get it? They're going to go into captivity into Babylon. But they're brought out. And they're going to be set free. And I'm living to see some of this stuff. No weapon formed or fashioned against you will prosper. And that was the first combat assignment of the F-16s. Ever. And it proved their worth. God is doing stuff in our day and age. You know? They went in. The F-16 produces something like 26,000 pounds of thrust. It flies at better than Mach 2, two times the speed of sound. They went in under 300 feet from the ground, below radar. When Desert Storm took place, they used the same aircraft, but this time they went above the ceiling because the countermeasures couldn't reach them. Yeah? God's at work. We're moving toward every morning I get up, I think, we're one day closer. One day closer. I'm not saying today is the day, but it could be. And if it's not, I'm one day closer to the return of the Lord. And that city will be set apart. Do you believe that? Yes. Why? Because I believe in the first advent. It literally happened. Same prophets. This will happen. Amen? There's going to be a majesty that's revealed. Right now, I'm delivered by the power of the agony. But the majesty is coming. Depart. Go, this is verse 11. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Get out of the midst of her. Purify yourselves. For you who bear holy vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go in haste. And you shall not go in flight. For the Lord will go before you. And the Lord God of Israel will be your rear guard. You know, folks, this is incredible stuff. The majesty of the Lord is going to be revealed next. This will be fulfilled. And if it's not fulfilled in my lifetime here, I'll be coming with them. Okay, next. Isaiah 54, 1-4. Sing, O barren, you who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. For you have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations. And will people the desolate places. Do you know in 1867, Mark Twain went to, as he identified it, as Israel. And it was barren, uninhabited. There were very few villages, no cities. He said it was swampy. There was bugs. It was terrible. You know? I get a little frustrated. You know, you look at some Bible maps and it says, Palestine in the time of Jesus. Palestine didn't exist in the time of Jesus. It was the old nation of Israel, Samaria, and Judah. In 131 AD, the Roman Empire suppressed an uprising in Israel, and they renamed it. And the shortened name that came out of that is Palestine. It didn't exist prior. And then in the Balfour Declaration took place, and Israel, they were setting up a land for Israel, they identified a portion as being Palestine. But at the time of Jesus, it was Judah, Samaria, and Israel. They didn't always have the land. And when Clement was there, he said it was barren. It's not now. It's cities and agriculture. These portions are being fulfilled today. It's happening. And it is yet going to be fulfilled. They've stretched out their tent. You know? Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood, and you will remember no more. Next. Okay, so they had judgment, but they're coming out of it. Then you go 5 to 10, the captives are reminded of their unique relationship to the Almighty God. And we're living in the fulfilling of these days. Go to the next one. Isaiah 54, 11 to 17. Now, I don't, forgive me for saying it somewhat bluntly. I don't know what your personal view towards Jewish people are or towards Israel. Quite frankly, I don't care. What I care about is what God has to say. And if God calls them his people, I better. And you may not like them, I don't know. If you don't like them, don't come and tell me. You tell God. You and he can sort it out. But he says he's going to do these things. Because whether you like it or not, they're his people. We have the covenants and the promises. How do I know that Jesus is the Christ? Because of the Old Testament. Because of the nation of Israel. That we can track through and we can say, it wasn't Buddha. Or he came from the tribe of David. We can trace it. We can prove it. And if the first literally happened, beloved, the second's going to as well. Yeah? Forgive me if I rant a bit. Verse 11. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted. They were in exile. It wasn't a happy day for them. Behold, I will set your stones in. We've read this. He says, I'm going to reestablish this city. It's going to be my city. And when he returns, he's physically going to be there. And the nations are going to see. Go to the next. The revelation of the agony of Christ. Notice, it is so important to notice where that portion exists. It comes right between 52 and 54, where the majesty is being revealed. But before the majesty is revealed, God said, I have to deal with something. I want a holy nation, but you're not holy. I want a holy king, but the kings weren't holy. He says, oh, I'll send my servant, and he'll be a holy king. And we will establish a holy people. But before Israel repents and comes to Christ, do you understand, according to Scripture, that two-thirds of them will die? Whether you believe in Armageddon or not, it's going to happen. You know, there's things of the human heart I don't get. How Christ can reign on earth for 1,000 years, and at the end of that, Lucifer be loose for a little season, and people will turn against God who physically reigned on earth for 1,000 years. The rebellion of all, the portion of all we like sheep have gone astray. There's one way to a new heart, one way to a new spirit, and that is to accept the servant, Jesus Christ, so marred, so abused, so agonized to die for you and I, to redeem us. And Jesus said, I have first come to the house of Israel. But he says, he went to his own and his own received them not. And now we're in a period the Bible refers to as the time of the Gentiles. This time is going to be fulfilled. And then the promises to Israel are going to be completed. This is our opportunity to come into a unique and special relationship with God through Jesus Christ, to walk as a redeemed vessel, filled by Him, moved by Him, new heart, new spirit. It's our invitation, but not all will accept. He says, it will be for many, but not all. Not all will receive. That's their choice. Listen, if you remove free choice, then love can't exist. If you are compelled to love, it's not love. Only free choice can give love. If it's imposed upon me, I'm a slave. We have free choice. What am I going to do with it, John? I fought it for years. And then God broke through. 52:13. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be lifted up on high and be exalted. I'm not rambling. Things are just coming, okay? John 3. Except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom. Jesus said, except I be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so I must be lifted up. The F-16, you know what the nickname for that plane is? The Viper. I be lifted up. I look at these and say, this can't be coincidence. This is too funny to be real. That he's their deliverer. And he'll crush the head of the serpent, Lucifer. I look at this stuff and I go, God, this is wild. I can't believe this is happening. Verse 14, as many as were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human resemblance that his form beyond that of the children of mankind. You couldn't distinguish him as human. You look at a piece of raw meat. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths before him. That's not happening right now. We got politicians declaring. Listen, a politician in Canada said one of the problems with greatest problems in Canada is Christians. Come on, folks, wake up. We're in a days of apostasy where people are openly defying Christ. Well, mocking his name. But there's coming a day they're going to shut their mouths. For that which is not being told of them, they shall see. And that which they have not heard, they'll understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? I do. Good. Do you? Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who so loved the world that he died for you? Do you believe he's coming again? Then we receive communion. And we testify to that. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form of majesty. You look at him, you didn't see anything special. For goodness sakes, he had nail prints in his hand and a wound in his side and marks on his brow. But listen, when he comes again, he will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every knee will bow, some out of love and some out of fear. He had no form of majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. Do you remember when we went to Jerry's Deli in Woodland Hills? And it was run by Jewish people. And you know, we ordered, and the waitress, she's talking to me. And I said, you're Jewish, aren't you? And she looked at me somewhat hesitantly because she could tell I was a Gentile. And she said, yes. I said, I want to thank you. She wanted to thank me. What do you want to thank me for? I want to thank you for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because if it wasn't for the Jewish people, we wouldn't have a Redeemer. She started to get emotional. Then there was a young guy there. You remember? He had the funny hat and the curls and the apron, and he was one of the waiters. And she's explaining the thing. Goes, and she was so overwhelmed that we appreciated her. When we left, remember? She gave us for free, a big box of Jewish pastries. It was incredible. Yeah. And all I did was say, thank you. He was esteemed not. Starting to tear up here. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we esteemed him smitten, stricken and smitten by God. She said, you don't think we crucified him? I said, no, it was my sins that crucified him. I did, not you. Your people proved that he's the Messiah. Your people proved he's the Savior if I would receive him. Smitten by God and afflicted. And he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But you've got to receive it. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before his shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for this generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man his death. And although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, and he shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his day. He'll rise from the dead. He'll see these things. And he rises from the dead, and he's coming again. This is incredible. The will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Keep going. We've read this portion. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Because you received him. You received that free gift. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. This is all good, Pastor, but how does this relate to us? Listen, you need to understand, beloved, that there are promises that are given to you as a believer. There are some we don't like to claim. In this world, you will have trial and tribulation. You will be oppressed. You'll be hated. You'll be persecuted. But fear not. I'll be with you. My peace will be with you. You know? But there are great promises. He says, listen, being Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, things are happening in Israel according to the word of God. It's being reestablished. It is becoming powerful. The Lord's going to return there. He's true to that promise. Is he going to be true to you? Yeah. Absolutely. The more you understand prophecy, the more you look and you say, God was true to that word, as impossible as it seemed. Generations ago, Christians couldn't see how that could possibly happen. Israel didn't exist. They were scattered all over the world. No hope, no, you know, this isn't going to happen. Obviously, this is where the doctrine of replacement theology came in, where some scholars said, the church is now the Israel of God. No, we're not. I'm sorry, folks. I don't want to live in Israel. I want to live with Jesus in glory. Hello? Come on. When we don't see things going the way we think we should be seeing them, then we alter things. But God doesn't alter. Some of those theologians, oh my goodness, they must have just had nightmares when 1948 took place. Now they're a nation. Now what do I do? Maybe Israel is around. You know? Listen, folks, God's, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 2, amen? 2 or 4? 4. Listen, God's got promises for you. If he made promises to Israel. He's keeping them. Not in the time frame I thought, perhaps, but he's keeping them. When he makes a promise to you, that song you were singing, he causes all things to work together good for me. Why? Because that's his promise. How can you believe that and trust that? Because I can look at Israel and say it went into judgment. It was coming back. Then they went back into judgment. Now 1948, they're back. And they're established as a nation. They're growing and they're prospering. If God can keep that word over 2,500 years, he can keep his word to you and me. Amen? Amen? Amen. So what do we do now, Pastor? We receive communion. Wayne, could you and Larry graciously serve for us? Hold the emblems until everybody is partaken will partake together. And remember, those that eat and drink this in an unworthy way will be judged. What's the key here? The key is until he comes again. If you believe that, you believe he's coming again, you receive. You receive. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'll turn you into a Pentecostal yet. You got a song for us, brother, you can lead us in?